Hello and welcome to episode 34 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown and I am joined by JK.
Hello, hello.
We have been having some skirmishing in our world's prep. I've been running my Han Dracotta list. I don't think a whole lot, nothing has changed to the list. A few things have changed to the command cards. I've been playing black market prices and let's see, I've been playing, I got rid of, I make my own luck. I've been playing black market prices and one other card. I'm trying to think of what it is, which it's not coming to me at this moment. But otherwise, the list is the same. JK, what were you playing tonight?
Running IG double Equay, Rebel Care Package Plus with, one E-Jawa, and I think that, and then Devious. I think that's the 40 points. So seven, yeah. So that's the list I think I'm going to take to Worlds after. I mean, it's just playing. This is the first time I've actually played it tonight. I like it.
You have played lots of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've played Equays like since Jabba's Realm dropped. I've been playing, you know, Elite Weequays, but no, mostly it's been some kind of the Greedo, Vinto, Onar Weequay stuff. I don't have a ton of practice in IG, and I know that, and that's one of the things I really need to work on. But I think that's what I'm going with. Again, there's weaknesses to it, but there's weaknesses to every list.
Yeah.
And so, because if not, then everyone will run Jump Masters or whatever that one was.
Oh, that was the worst. X-Wing was the worst.
I don't know anything about X-Wing other than everyone hates it and it's the worst.
Yeah, that's right. It's worse. No, Legion's the worst.
Legion's the worst. X-Wing's just really meta-driven or something like that.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Okay, so I played three skirmish games tonight. Ours is the first.
Yeah.
Okay, so JK and I played each other twice.
Yep.
And then I played Scott. I'll do our first game because I won. You can do our second game because you won. Okay,
yeah, so I'm sure I'm going to have to have some things that I forget. So
That's right. So JK and I were practicing against each other. We were playing on Jabba's. The first mission we were playing was
Spoils of Crime
because it was pick up crates. I opened my door, which I have now actually thinking, I normally with Han and Dracotta, I have no problem opening the door. But again, it's IG and double Weequays. I no longer think that's the best choice. But here's the problem, though. The problem is if I let IG get into the maze uncontested, I'm going to have a lot of problems, right? And like, so that's like what I've been trying to think about is how is it, what am I supposed to do on Jabba's when I'm facing other range threats, either Han Rangers, you don't open the door, but you know, things like that. So I didn't, when in our opening hand, I had on the land, but I didn't have Miracle Worker. So I knew Han could take some shots, but I did not, Dracotta cannot take, you know, endless amounts of IG shooting at him, right, without Miracle Worker. So I opened the door, Han dodged an IG shot, which was huge, because I didn't have to burn on the land.
Yeah.
And then I was just able to slowly whittle you down with Dracotta and Han, right? I mean, I had all the right cards. IG did not roll super well.
Yep. My opening hand was 3 0 cost cards, and I drew two more 0 cost cards.
Oh, that's right.
And so I didn't see, and then I drew on the Lamb Assassinate, but it was like, at that point, you know, IG had 13 damage on him. I had one Weequay left, or two Weequays left, or something like that. And so it was, yeah, it was not very good, and I couldn't get a lot of objective points because that's not the better of the two objective maps.
Yeah.
And so, we actually spent some time because we played over by the terminals, right? Where we ended, right?
Yes, that was it.
Yeah. Man, Dracotta's demolish.
Demolish, yeah.
Yeah,
so good.
It's really good. It's really annoying. Stuff like in the maze and stuff like that. After watching you on Slack as well, when you dropped it on Nal Hutta on that left side.
Yes.
Was
you close off that lane.
Yeah, you did that and I was just like, oh my gosh, that is the dirtiest thing.
It's so great. So what he's saying is I was playing Micah on, we were playing on Vassal. He was playing Han Rangers and we were on Nal Hutta. So what I did with Dracotta, I had arcing shot. So I came up, I was on bottom, the better side. And so I came up, took a shot on Hera, who was in that the middle protected space area with arcing shot. And I was able to one-shot her. Then I dropped a demolish token on that far left lane. So if you're the bottom is the better side, the far left lane, I dropped a demolish token there. So he did not have a free way in. And then I moved Dracotta back. And you do that and it just completely closes off that lane and makes, they don't even want to go down that side, right? Because I can put boxes, if they are really trying to press up, I can put boxes on the other side of that difficult terrain. It's just the worst.
Yep. And that's the same thing with, again, looking at this time, the maze does it a little bit where you, like, you can get around it because there's a lot of diagonals and stuff like that, but you take time. It's hard to get through with demolish, and like you probably did 2, 4, 8. I mean, you probably did 14, 15 damage just from demolish and
shrapnel
and just different blasts like that.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, Dracotta just, against everyone who's not Vader, and even Vader, I mean, he can pump out free damage on Vader, right?
Yeah.
But against everyone who's not Vader, Dracotta is just terrifying with the amount of damage that can be output.
Yeah, and I know one of the big issues for me has always been, like, opening round positioning, especially Hera does.
Yeah.
Hera makes it so interesting because you go, this is where I want to be. Start putting things out, and then I go, okay, move. Oh, yeah, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Ah, crap. And so I know that's one of the things, and I don't think I did that very well the game one, so I had to have, I kind of over-positioned an Equay to sit on the terminal. One of the big issues with my list is I don't have a ton of, I have no objective runners.
Yeah, like, you don't.
Like
just your Jawa.
Yeah, exactly. I have a Jawa, and I actually used him in both the game. Well, yeah, in both the games, I actually used him not as a door opener. I would use one of my two weak ways. One of them would open the door, and then another would take a shot if he was focused.
Yep.
Just to get a free shot out. And then the Jawa just sat in front of IG to take one shot if, like, from a ranger, from a haunt, however you want to do it, so that then I could move out and do whatever I needed to do. So I sacrificed my one objective runner both games, really.
Yeah.
And then I dropped, both games I dropped an Equay in the pit to kill a smuggler, which I still think is the right game.
yes. I don't know. I guess it depends on, I mean, if you do it on the second game we played was on new ownership, and then I think you definitely do it.
Yeah, the first one I actually probably should have waited for you to pick up the crate.
Yeah.
And then gone back, because I would have then been able to drop down, shot, and then next round I would have been able to pick up both crates.
Yeah.
So that might have been a better idea, but that's the reason you play some of these. So yeah, the next one, it's funny because they're very similar feeling games.
Yeah.
But the next one on new ownership, I didn't push into the maze at all.
Yeah.
And I took a couple shots just straight down the hallway across the throne room.
Yep.
And I took out, I was actually pretty sure he had Miracle Worker, and I was like, okay, got a beard Miracle Worker, which means I'm going for MHD.
Yep.
I was like, I'm going to kill MHD right now. Shot him, and he died. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
I didn't have it.
Wow. I guess I'm going to press my advantage. I shot and killed Hera?
No. I don't think so. No, because I had On the Lamb in my hand.
But
let's see, who did you kill? I'm not totally positive now that I think about that.
I think it was Hera, because I was wondering if you had On the Lamb, but I thought you were just going to wait for, because I killed him with a non, because I still had IG sitting there, and I think you were waiting for him on that, but maybe not.
Hmm.
But yeah, I killed another one, and I was actually pretty far ahead. You had Dracotta and Han left. I had killed C-3PO. I had killed, somewhere in there, I know I killed Hera. It was eventually, but I killed MHD, killed a smuggler, and so I kind of had material control.
Yeah.
And
this is on new ownership, and he was controlling the pit.
Yeah, so I had the pit, and I had the middle objective, and so I got 12 points from there. And then I think I got 12. I might have only gotten 8.
I got 4 on the first one, and then I got 4 on the first one. You got 4 on the first one because you moved Hera up into the middle.
Yeah,
and then
I got 8 on the next. Yep, so yeah, 12 to 4. So then I blaze? I think I
you,
blaze. Yeah.
At the very end. So so this is what happened. So at the end of round one, you didn't blaze till round 2.
Yeah.
Because round 2, what happened was Dracotta came up and he did a, so JK had devious scheme. So round 2, he has initiative. I don't have take. So he sends IG up to, that was when I think you might have killed Hera.
Yeah.
Because you come up and you did a shot on, I do think it was Hera.
Yeah.
Killed her. And then you ran back along like on the other side of like that main central room.
Yep.
And then you blocked him. And so then Dracotta comes in and does an arcing shot, and I had element of surprise. So I did like 7 or 8 damage. I mean, I did a pretty heavy hit.
Hmm.
And then I pulled Dracotta back because I figured he was going to have blaze. And then you body blocked with C-3PO and Weequays, like just everybody to like keep Han from killing him. And then you play Blaze.
Yep. And all I got with Blaze, because of where he's positioned, and again, I assumed he had On the Lamb, and so I didn't want to get into Han's grill.
Yep.
Because even if, like, Han would take a shot to actually move into line of sight, because, you know, if I still have a point left over or whatever, he would take a shot to run in to get that end around shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually ran the other way and killed Mach to get card control.
Yep.
And then I had Mac and IG, or Hera and IG next to each other on the terminal.
Yep.
And they're both, yeah, just, oh, I killed someone else with IG, I think, actually, because I ran him over. And then you Dracotted.
So what happened was, so round two was, I was a little down round one. I mean, I've lost MHD. Round two, I lost Hera. I lost my smugglers because I had one in the pit, and I don't know what the other one was doing. Oh, you did that long bomb shot with your Equate.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the open door step up.
And yeah, that was crazy. I mean, it was like a range 9. You were focused, but you weren't hidden, and you didn't have Hera on that one. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, that was a very lucky.
But then, so round one, I was down, definitely. And then round two, after Blaze went off, I actually wasn't as hurt as bad as I thought. Dracotta had like 6 damage on him or something like that. But then, but at this point, I'm down because you are getting crazy. You're getting all of the objective points, and I just don't have enough people to contest. But start of round three, Dracotta, I've got a collateral damage. Blaze or IG has 3 damage left on him. So what I do?
So does Hera,
and so does Hera. So I have Dracotta, unfocused Dracotta, come up, shoot Hera, drop a demolish, and it kills her. Drop a demolish token and collateral damage onto MHD or onto IG.
Yeah.
I got 4 damage on IG. That was what killed him.
Yeah.
And so at that point, so I just killed IG and Hera with Dracotta. And at that point, it was close.
Yeah.
Because now it's like I just need to kill weak ways or whatever it I need to do in order to just like get back up on material.
Yeah. And then I was at 29 to end the round.
Yep.
Had both crates, so went up to 37.
Yep.
And then round four, he'd already taken initiative. So that was the end of round three. So round four, I ran a weak way up and around, and I had a line of sight on Gideon.
Yep.
Tools. Yep. I might have had an element of surprise. I don't remember. I don't think I did.
I don't think you did. But
yeah, but tools and killed him. Yeah. And that's how it ended.
It was a super close
game. Oh, yeah. It really could have gone either way.
Yeah. It ended closer than it began. I was really down at the end of round one and two. But when Dracotta, with one shot, an unfocused shot, killed Hera and IG, I was like, okay, I can do this. But I think I got like 5 damage on an Equay when I needed 6 or something like that.
Yes, you had the one, I think it was a Han shot that had a funky, you had a really bad roll, and you needed accuracy.
Yep, that was it. Oh, that was it. I missed accuracy. That was right. I had like range 6, and I got like 5 range or something like that. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
It was a really good game.
Exactly. And again, like, those are the games you learn. You either want, I mean, if you're going to have a game that's in practice, you either want a game where you get obliterated because you have just done something wrong.
Yeah.
And you learn from it. You go, okay, I now know I can't do this.
Yep.
Or you want a game that's so close that you go, okay, let's pick that apart. If I could do something next time to make it not close. And I mean, it is harder to explain it in a podcast. Like, you can't see a lot of the stuff that's going on. But those are the games that really I think you need for Worlds. And sometimes you need to beat up on Vassal by ridiculously good players to go, what did I do there?
Yeah.
Where did I miss this?
What went wrong?
Or you have, you have really close matchups that you say, okay, how did I win? Let's really look at this and peel this back.
Yeah. I think that like what I learned from that game was so the first game, Han rolling a dodge was big because I didn't have to burn on the lamb that early. And I knew that with Dracotta, like with Dracotta getting focused and Han being focused, I can put a lot of hurt on IG, like once he comes up, if I can absorb like that first blast, right? Because Han can shoot back, Dracotta can take an IG shot, right? I mean, especially if I'm next to C-3PO. But what I really learned was I need to figure out my positioning in the deployment so that if I don't open the door, what I'm going to do. And a part of me thinks I really need to open the door because I got to get those smugglers out. But then another part of me thinks I'm just taking free shots, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, the question is, I can open the door if I'm going to do more than just take free shots, and I don't know what that is yet.
Yeah, especially on the bottom side, on the stairs side of Jabba's, you don't have as much to hide. Like, you have a harder time hiding people away, or you have to tuck really far back.
Exactly.
And then you're out of range.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you want to be close enough to attack while not being close enough to get hit.
Yep.
Which, like, I think there's goods and bads to Jabba's map, and we've talked about this. I'm sure everyone's talked about this. I think it's probably the most balanced map of them all. I think the bottom side's a little bit better if you have range. If it's a range versus range battle, the bottom side's a little better because
bottom, you mean the non-stair side.
Yeah, the non-star side, sorry. Yeah. And because you can have 2 ranged people on either side who can step out.
Yep.
and they can be two away. So step two in,
yep.
take a shot from the door, step two back,
yep.
and you're safe, but you can also take shots. And with, you know, with Hera being fairly close, you know, it's not, doesn't always work. You might have one that doesn't get Hera in range, but you're really good. Yeah. I also need to work on, again, IG is a tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
Because he can take a ton of damage, but I was playing my third game of the night, which we'll talk about in a minute. And some rangers from like a inside three spaces or whatever, so not even reroll range, yeah. ended up doing like 12 damage to him just because they have a pierce and yep. they just kind of roll into it. And yeah, he used cards and did different things, but still, it was me feeling very safe to, holy cow, he can still die,
yep.
which, I mean, everything can still die. You always expect yeah. your things. Can you make the trade? But yeah, even with IG, I need to work on that a bit. And that was both games. Every game I played tonight, I learned that a little bit more.
Yeah. My thing with IG is he's rolling a black die and he can't call on the lamb. Right. So, and we JK and I talked about this, but IG's health is like a known quantity, right? Like he's going to roll 2 to 3 blocks every defense roll. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think IG's obviously really, really good. But you have to really know when it's time to commit him. And mm-hmm. if you don't draw Blaze, and you don't really have card draw,
nope.
right? And
so, yeah, planning in black market prices.
Yeah, exactly. You have black market prices?
I do.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
I saw the end of the second game, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I drew into it with Blaze.
Yeah. Oh, black market prices. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, not black market.
Yeah, black market. Yeah, black market prices is amazing. In our first game, actually, this is so dirty. I used Max Intelligence Leak to burn... planning, JK's planning, and so I took no strain, and then I used data theft to steal planning from JK, and I'm like, that's a stupid combo. It's probably not very good, but man, that felt really good to like have Mac, you know, be able to get me 2 free cards and get rid of your 2 free cards.
It's a 4 card shift. I don't remember who was Matt talked to us about it, but I don't remember who told him about it, but the idea that the cards in your hand are more important than the cards in the opponent's hand.
Daniel talked about that.
Daniel Taylor. And so
that's why he prefers R2 over Chopper.
Right. And that makes sense to me. But yeah, that's, you're negating them 2 cards, which is fine. Like uh-huh. it's a good idea. Like negating planning is always fine. But really, if you could do that to gain 2 more cards,
yep.
then you're shifting everything, especially yeah. with your list where you're looking at, you want on the lamb and you want miracle workers cards, and yep. you need them, or the, like, if you don't draw them in the first 2 rounds, you're just close to losing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have to get lucky at that point, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like I expect to draw, you know, most of those cards, but if you don't, it's a problem.
Exactly. Even the second game when I was like, okay, cause again, having played different versions of this, probably 15, 20, 25 times, there's things that you just know. And even so, game 1, I knew I needed to burn on the lamb or miracle worker, whichever one he had,
yeah.
and Han rolled the dodge.
Yeah.
And that killed it. Like
yeah.
realistically, it was the biggest play of the game, but like, I mean,
cuz I get lucky, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If I get lucky, then all of a sudden now what would have been close, now I'm ahead,
yes.
right? Cuz now like I've still got damage that I can take and then burn on the lamb.
Yeah.
Right?
And so my second shot, I just shot him
mm-hmm.
and I did 8 damage or something like
yeah.
that. Cause it was a really good, like I did red, green, and I made range and yeah. yada, yada, yada. But it just was like, okay, I'll take 6.
Yep.
I'm going to step back. Don't need to burn anything.
Yep.
I'm going to take my shot and then I'm going to step back and have MHD heal
exactly.
me. And that changed a lot of it.
And so IG's activation, so I have got damage that I've done to you,
yep.
which is then like countered with damage that you did to me that I am now like undoing. Right?
Yeah, and that's exact, again, I want to burn your cards.
Yep.
Like I know that I'm not going to kill you right away.
Yep.
I want to burn your cards.
Absolutely.
And game 2, I took that shot on IG, or on MHD.
Yep.
Ooh, lots of robots in here.
Yeah, all them robots.
Yeah. I took that shot on MHD, and I thought to myself, all I want to do, because again, going back to the, he's not a smuggler, he's a known quantity, he's black dice.
Yep.
I can kill him.
You're going to 2-shot him.
Yep. And so I went up, took my shots, thinking, okay, he's gonna miracle worker, and yep. then I go, cool, now I don't have to focus on MHD anymore if I don't want to.
Yep.
I still probably would if I had a free shot, but,
yeah.
and then he didn't have it, and I was like, oh.
So he's dead.
Okay, so now I can press advantage a little bit more, because
yep.
again, part of it is learning what he has in his hand.
Yep.
The second game I played Shoot the Messenger, which I got 3-0 cost cards.
Yeah, that was actually,
and it was like
planning, take initiative, and officer's training. I was like, all right.
Yeah. And from my side, I'm like, oh gosh.
Cause you know what that means?
Yeah.
It means like on the lamb and all those other yeah. cards are like in my, now they're in my deck.
I've really grown to like Shoot the Messenger. I mean, it helps for, of course it's nice to get rid of cards,
yeah.
But it's really good to strategize what people have.
See, that's the thing. Like, I mean, like when people talk about taking strain as cards, which I think a lot of people say, if you're not going to, like, this is something Brett Kelly has talked about and like Rob on the Slack channel, is like, if you are not going to draw through your deck, you should always take the strain as cards because it's free damage that you can then mitigate. And I totally get that. But the problem is if you are burning cards that they now know what you don't have. That's huge, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, if you lose Tough Luck, it's like, okay, now I'm just going to reroll my dice with Abandon, as opposed to, like, oh, maybe I won't reroll this dice and take a suboptimal shot because I can't risk you having Tough Luck debt, right?
Yeah. And I mean, again, like, I get the both sides of it. But, yeah, like,
yes, exactly.
You learn. Because, really, outside of maybe three cards per deck, you know the deck. You know the command card.
Yeah.
Any capable player knows the command card. If you're going up against Hunter Scum, you know what, 11 of the 15 cards?
You realistically know like 13.
Yeah.
I mean, like they might have like Toxic Dart
as opposed to
something else.
Exactly. It's those three or four zero cost cards that you don't know.
Yeah.
And so if you can then get rid of three cards with Shoot the Messenger and you go, okay, so there is this. They have six cards left. I am pretty sure I know what they have left.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the same thing with Strain. Like, I don't know what anyone else does, but yeah, if I don't have On the Lamb, even just playing, you know, I only have Equaze and Hera for On the Lamb, but I'm still, you still run it.
It's absolutely worth
it. And if I don't have it in my hand, I'm taking Strain as damage 90% of the time. But the other thing is, if I'm taking Strain as damage, then I'm also going to have people think, oh, he doesn't have it yet because he doesn't want to burn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I'm just like, okay, I don't care. Yeah. Take it as cards. And people are like, okay, he has On the Lamb. Not that it matters
because
you can always assume that people have it.
Yeah. I totally get that. Yeah. That's a really good point. Okay. So game three, let me go first because I played, well, actually no, let's have you go first because we're going to talk about my matchup.
Yeah. Your game was more interesting. I played Jacob, who's from around here. He played Han Rangers and Sabs. So he played, and then Rebel Care Package and a Smuggler.
But
and
no R2. Hera.
No Hera.
Yeah.
So it was a little different.
Jacob's a newer player.
Yeah. He's super good at a lot of, like, I know he's like, really good at X-Wing.
Oh, no, Armada.
Armada,
yeah,
that's right.
Like, he's, like, been to Armada Worlds. He made top eight, I think, or something. Yeah. I mean, he's super, super good.
Yes, super, super good. Like, really smart, strategic player in stuff like that. But, yeah, he's getting into this. He's still, he's played a lot, but he doesn't dedicate his time to like we do.
Yeah.
So, we just played on the same one. I played New Ownership. Honestly, I actually randomized it, and that's what I flipped. And I was just like, whatever, that's fine.
That's it.
So Devious, I took the non-stair side. He lined people up. I opening hand had Blaze. And so I opened the door. So he had seven activation. I have seven activation. So I'm going last.
Yep.
I have negation in my hand as well, so I know I'm going first. Man, so it's like, you know, that's
just, it's like the dream.
Exactly. Right, it's everything I want.
Yep.
There's a chance that he has Make My Own Luck, of course, but I don't know, and I'm just going to assume he doesn't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we gin up a little. He opens the door. He actually opens the door with a Rebel Sab and jumps to the throne room.
Okay.
And I open the door, do the same thing with my weak ways, where I open the door with one of them, then my other focused ones take a shot on the Rebel Sab. Doesn't kill him, does four damage, step him back, and then he drops a Smuggler down the pit.
Okay.
And I use a different weak way to finish off the Rebel Sab to prevent him, because he runs up onto the throne for that top that top stash. I don't remember if I said that. And then my other weak way just hides, so I'm still just kind of sitting in the box.
Yep.
I drop my Ijawa. I'm trying to think what he does. He shoots some different things with his Rangers. Actually, no, I move my Ijawa down. He actually kills both of my Equays. They're my two that are sitting there. One of them was hidden. And I was like, you know, one of them, like the front one's going to die. The second, the back one, he can get a good shot and die. The first one, he just like obliterates.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, wow.
wait a second.
And then the second one, he finishes him off with two. And I'm like, oh, that's going to smart.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, they'd already have activated, so it helped a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jawa drops down the pit to try and shoot a Smuggler. Smuggler dodges.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
I mean, he'll kill him on the next one.
I do the same thing I did with you, where I run Hera up to the maze. So I'm above the stash where I can still call the shots from inside with IG.
I do really like that.
IG runs up. His Han takes a shot somewhere.
at you know, somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly what happened.
Okay.
IG runs up. I do. I run up and I try to kill a. So I have opportunities with my hand. So I'm going to run up a little bit, try and kill a ranger.
Yeah.
Because
you're going to get your two movement points. Shoot or like shoot to like shoot or, kill or do damage to a ranger.
Yeah. Shoot to wound and then move up with opportunistic. Yep. I rolled like the worst possible IG.
You rolled red, green, and you rolled the two double surges.
Yes.
And a one.
And a one on the red. And yep. I was like, I'll do four damage. I mean, or three damage. And I was like, okay, still. One. Opportunistic run up. So I shot Han, did like three.
He shot back.
He shot back. He did like five or six. I blazed, stepped up, weakened him with toxic dart.
Yeah.
Took two more shots and got him to 11.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was like, oh crap. Well, all right, whatever.
He doesn't have on the land.
Yep. And so I step over. And I,
this
you know,
is like
I,
the power of IG right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, and I know I have initiative. Or no. No, I don't have... Sorry, I don't have a negation in this one.
Okay.
Sorry, I was thinking of it. Because he took initiative, and IG's at, like... Again, IG, I think it was at 6 or something like that. I don't think Han actually did that much to him, now that I'm thinking about it. And
Han got the worst end of the exchange.
Is what's going on. He comes down with the three arranger shots, and he brings IG to 14.
Oh my
gosh.
So
he has one health left, and I'm like, whoa. So I activate IG, step over, kill Han.
Yep.
Kill a ranger.
Yep.
Step back.
Take the last damage.
Exactly.
He's done what he needs to do.
Gideon comes in and kills him.
Yeah.
And then Ikwe's step up, kill a ranger, kill a ranger, kill a sab, sit on there, 28 points goes to 40 with 32 to 40 with statues. It's the power of IG when things break right.
Oh man, that's so crazy. Yeah.
Round two, I drew tools and element of surprise, I think.
Yeah.
And so it was really just like, okay, that weak way is just going to blam. Yeah. That one, red, green with Hera's thing just obliterated another one.
Yeah, I think that like from now on, what I'm gonna try like in our scrimmage games as we're leading up to Worlds is what I want to do is, so if I'm on the stair side, what I want is to have Hera and Gideon move Drakata up 3, but along the terminal, so that Drakata can threaten anybody that goes into the pit.
That's a really good idea.
That's what I think is going to be my play from here on out, because I need to deny people control of the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the... Because Drakata, I mean, if you misplay with Drakata, even if you don't, like, if you're just pushing people up in order to, like, take objectives, Drakata is just going to obliterate people. And I think I've been too much in the mindset of I've got to control that, like, top throne room area, which you should control. But against certain lists, like, if you're playing double weak ways, you should be really nervous about just opening your door and taking shots from them.
Well, and I mean, even if you just open the door and step back so you're over on top of the stairs, you're still threatening it, because Han can still go 2 or 3 and get a shot onto where the stash is. I'd have to look and make sure line of sight's working and all that, but you're really close. But yeah, if you could sit with Drakata right near the terminals, right on the stairs, essentially.
Yeah.
And go 1, 2, 3, and then take a shot on that middle one.
Yeah.
That's going to change a lot of games, because that's 4 to 8 points you're probably going to prevent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who knows? Because you're never putting high-cost figures there.
No.
But you're putting, you know... I put Hera there because IG's event, like, I eventually want IG to get up there and really get into people's faces.
That's right.
And so IG can, or so Hera can go... Can sit there and be within 3 spaces. It takes some funky positioning, like, because of the weird spacing rule where you would rather be a space further back.
Oh yeah, for the corner thing.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
Yeah. You want to be one further space away so you can get one more space closer.
Yeah,
but it's an interesting thing. Yeah. I don't know. It'd depend on matchups on who I drop there all the time, but yeah, realistically, people are going to put 4 cost figures there. Jets.
Yep. Jets are going to go. That's, I guess, the big thing, as I want to definitely deny that. Because the thing is actually, no. If I'm facing Jets, if I'm facing Vader, I'm going to open my door.
Right.
And then I will control that area. Because what I want Drakata to do against non-Vader, not Jetless, is demolish, put rubble tokens down so that people can't approach. Like, I want to, like, slow their approach, right? Either into that central area or into my area. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that.
Yeah, but I feel like you'd still want to open the door And, like, because if, you know, Vader's not going to sit on the top of the throne.
No.
So you can leave the throne room, and if they want to go contest it, you go, okay, cool, I'm going to have Drakata and Han watching Vader through the maze, and I'm going to throw rebel tokens so that Vader is slowing down.
Yeah.
It's going to take testing and practice and stuff like that. Just something that...
Vader is definitely an interesting pickle. So that's going to lead me into... So my third game was against Scott. He won our regionals. He's a super good player. And he beat me. We were playing on Mos Eisley on Stashed Away... Nope, Concealed Treasures. I made a mistake, which I thought was the right play in, like, I thought it was my typical opening, which is where I put Mac and a smuggler up. So I had the inside section, so the indoor section, and I put Mac and a smuggler as far up there as they could go next to the terminal. And then another smuggler is over on the far right. So, like, the section that's, like, opening up into the long haul, I have a smuggler there. And because what I want to do is I want to get two crates round one with the smugglers, which you can do. But I actually don't think I'm going to do that from here on out. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave both of those doors closed, you know, put whoever I'm going to put there, and then send everybody to pick up, like, the main ones in the central hall. Because that's what I want to control. Because the problem was, like, I made that mistake, and that allowed Scott to come in along the back line in order, like, it allowed him to, like, put all of his jets there. Right. And with the door open, they don't need to spend actions in order to open them. Right. Like, and unless he opens, like, both of his doors, then they're just going to be open, which I could, you know, obviously he could do. But, like, the whole point is, like, it would slow him down. And if I'm not slowing him down, then those jets are just running right in. But our game was really, really close. But the problem was I was not able to get enough damage out with Han before Vader was able to kill everything. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, so it was real. Vader killed almost, I think, my entire list. Until, like, except for Han, and then finally he killed Han in the endgame. But I had tons of crates, and I was putting pressure on the board, but, like, I didn't draw Miracle Worker. I didn't draw On the Lamb until, I mean, way later. I didn't draw until later. And so I wasn't able to, like, get the saves that I needed. Drakata was able to one-shot a jet and put 3 or 4 damage on another jet. So, I mean, he was, like, Drakata was doing good work. But I just, like, I wasn't able to put out enough damage on the rest of Vader's list, like, so that I didn't need to worry about Vader.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think controlling those middle, like, on the Stashed Away one, and I don't know if it's opening the door and then just being like, round one, I'm just going to grab everything.
Yeah.
Just open up and be like, grab, 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 and retreat. Because then you're at 16 points or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're spending a lot to do it, and Vader is getting closer.
Yep.
But it is important to grab those ones, because then you're, you know, if you can get up 16 in most lists, you're gonna be okay. I mean, 16 against that Vader list, you're okay. You're actually gonna have, you can kill everything out and win. I was playing against Matt a couple weeks ago. He was running Han Rangers and I was running Tarot double E Riots, double E Jets.
Okay.
That list. And that's what I did, is I, like, ordered people at each door.
Yep.
And then I had, you know, a right open one door, grab a crate, run back.
Yeah.
Had the other one, had a right open the door, grab a crate, run back.
Yep.
Had Taro run, grab a crate, run back. And so...
Which sounds crazy, but, like, then it's giving you, like, 12 points, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's
12 points. I made half of Taro's points back in one thing.
Yeah.
And so, and then I grabbed, and then I still have riots each door, or even closer.
Yep.
And so then I could grab another one. I think I ended with 20 points and objectives, and I won them. And
that's,
I won
huge.
the race. That was, like, the one game I won against him in running the little riot swarm.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, if you can figure out a way to get those three, even if you can get three of the middle ones, you're just at a big advantage. And I mean, it's only 4 points. It's actually 8 points, really, because you're denying them.
Yeah.
4. You're gaining 4.
Yeah.
But yeah, that map's always interesting.
I know. I think I need to practice on that map against Vader more, because Vader is a problem where Han and Drakata can kill Vader, but if I'm going to do it, I got to really go for it. Right. Yeah. And, like, that's the problem. So I'm definitely going to practice against that list more. And I really got to practice my openings, because those smugglers can do such great work. But if you misplay with them, Vader can force choke them, right? Then I'm, like, burning a card to keep them alive. And so you just got to be super, super careful. And I honestly just haven't thought hard enough about that. Because Scott, I thought he made a little bit of a positioning error, because he used Vader like his second or third to last activation to just like force choke C-3PO. And I hadn't even activated MHD yet. Or maybe I had, but like I had other people I could block with. And so that was what I ended up doing. Like I had Drakata come up and like do a demolish, put some damage on people, and then move back to block line of sight. But Vader was all the way at the top of the hall on the sniper's nest. So I'm like, he's not going to do more damage. And I mean, like, that was, I was great with that. I'm like, that's fine. You know, I had to position Drakata in such a way. I probably should have pulled Drakata back more because Han wasn't able to get a crazy good shot at the end of round, or two shots. I was only able to get one. But I don't know. I just think like that needs to be played with more. And we were talking about this because I like the idea of the Unshakeable Vader list. And obviously, like, the last thing in the world I would ever want to do is play Lucas Davidson or, you know, James Hedgepeth with the Unshakeable Vader. Like, that just sounds like a terrible, terrible, terrible experience. But I don't know. I feel like there's something about that list. And I phrased it in the sense of I think it puts a lot of weight on Vader to do a lot of work. And I know that, like, there are things, like, people say, no, you know, because I've still got, like, Scott Saw's Grenadier, but he doesn't call the Vanguard. You know, like, there are things about it where I'm like, I just don't know that's it, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like,
Well, I mean, I think it has to, like, there has to be an issue with it or else it's just going to get run. Like,
oh, sure.
Like, people beat it. Like, yeah. And, but yeah, I don't know. Because the Vader Palp list is so good because it just does so, like, Palp is just so flexible.
Vader, yeah, Palp is terrifying.
Yeah, right. Agreed. Like, I heard you talking about it earlier saying, if I, as a Rebel player, I'd rather see this than Palp.
Any day. I mean,
because Palp is just, like, okay, I'm going to, you know, temp C-3PO.
Yeah.
Temp C-3PO. And even, like, even, yeah, you have MHD, but you don't want
that. But that's even, like, assuming it's my list. Like, if you're running just, like, a standard Rebel list, or even, like, Han Rangers, right, if Palp is able to get into your grill...
Ugh,
you know, like, it's just, so scary.
Well, right? That's the thing is you have to put attacks into him.
Yeah.
You're probably putting three attacks into him.
At least.
Like, because his health is stupid.
Yeah.
And so you're putting attacks into him, which means you're not putting attacks into E-Jets.
Yep.
And when E-Jets don't get attacks put into them, then or if you're getting suboptimal attacks where you're not getting, like, a non-focused Han, I do not think is going to kill one-shot a jet trooper.
No, he won't.
They're not going to.
I mean, the odds are so very small.
Yeah, and so then you're spending two or maybe even three Ranger attacks on it.
Yep.
Like, I mean, you could have a one Ranger activation take out Palp. If you pull a card or two and you have, like, you're expecting round one, have one focus attack because you're focusing Han.
Yeah.
And so then you're, you know, so you're rolling three or six blues and a green, and hopefully you have a tools or an assassinator or something like that.
Yep.
And if that happens, yes, you can kill Palpatine.
Yep.
But, I mean, Palpatine's probably not going to be in line of sight most of the time because if
you're on Jabba's and if they can move Palp up and get him up into that middle room, like, or that middle, like, section where, like, the stash is and new ownership, that middle stash, that's a terrifying position for Palp to be in, right? Because it's very tough to push him out. You're not going to push him out with Rangers because they can't get up there, right? And now all of a sudden, like, Palp has got this crazy threat that he's going to do, right, where he's going to move out from there to either Force Lightning people or, you know, I don't know. Like, seems like that is very, very scary to me.
Yep.
And putting more weight on Vader, just I feel like I don't want to say it's suboptimal because I don't think it is. And yeah, obviously Lucas Davidson and James Hedgepeth, like, they know this better than I would, right? But I just think, like, what would I rather face? I would rather face the other thing, right?
Yeah, unless I have stun, then I'd way rather face. Yeah, I don't know because it's not like it. It's one of those things where it got invented in a bunch of places. People went, let's see what we can do. Because, if you can get an extra impactful Vader attack, and by impactful, I'm saying not a smuggler, not something small, but, like, if you can get a second attack on Han, then you're probably going to kill him minus on the lamb.
Yeah.
Or if you do that attack and then he on the lambs, you can parting blow into it.
Yep.
And so you have that opportunity. But yeah, like, the extra weight on something that you're just doing everything you can to avoid.
Yeah.
Like, you're already, you know, I'm already trying to stay away from Vader.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get closer to
exactly.
him.
That's a good point.
And so Unshakeable, like, have the terminal. I'm running away. I'm going to try and pick everything else off and score points.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but there's a reason why it works too.
I know. Like, and, you know, here's the thing. I feel like, I've played against it before. I played against Ryan Janway.
Yep.
We played on Vassal. And we had a super, super close game. And I did have the right cards I needed, I think, in order to pull that out. I didn't have the right cards this time, and I was a little aggressive because what I thought is I'm just going to kill everything besides Vader and get crates. Yep. But he was just able, like, he was able to one-shot things from, like, he got, like, a range 7 shot with a jet. I can't even remember, but I just remember, like, he was doing, his dice were higher than average. So, like, what I calculated would be the trade I was not able to get, right? Yep. And so then, like, me having overcommitted at that point, now I'm behind, right? Yep. And so I think I need to be more defensive. Just use Dracotta, just, like, toss Demolish tokens down so that Vader has got no easy way in. And, you know, just pick off jets as, you know, as, like, I'm rotating the box around where Vader goes, right? Like, yep. Vader's coming one way, box moves the other way, yep. right?
And so. Yeah, and on crates, you can even pick up crates and drop them off in the other side.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, there's nothing stopping you from doing it.
Yep.
Yeah, I was thinking about that with my list, with IG and Weakways, and I think, so I beat Scott a couple weeks ago when he was running, I think he was running Unshakeable, I'm trying to remember. I mean, it didn't matter. It didn't matter because I didn't have anything stun. And so basically what ended up happening is he stepped out and I just alphaed the crap out of him. And I had the card. Yeah. So he stepped out and, you know, I was playing Shyla this time because I was just like kind of playing around with lists.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Shyla did like 7.
Shyla can output bonkers damage.
Yeah.
Right?
And took the Zillow, I think, too.
Yeah.
So the Zillow Pierce is gone. And then, you know, I did a Weakway who did a wild attack, who was focused. So it was like red, green, green, green. And just like, it was 3 or 4 attacks that just went bam, 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 bam. And the Unshakeable matchup doesn't scare me as much because I want Vader coming to me.
That's a good point.
Like, I would like it to happen. Like, I don't want him to be in my grill, obviously, because...
But you want him to be close.
But yeah, like, if he's, you know, just rushing in there, spending 8 movement points, and I have IG at the end of the round, if I'm, you know... Because there's a chance I have Blaze and I can go, you know, 1, 2, red, green, red, red, green, red, red, green, red, red, green. Because, you know, we did the math and you're doing
4
you're,
damage.
You're coming pretty close to killing him with just like no cards at all.
Yeah.
And so if you can hit it and other than my one real bad roll, my IG rolls were really good tonight.
Yeah.
He was
hitting pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I also, so Scott, he doesn't have one, he doesn't have an E-Riot. He's got Targeting Computer and Rule by Fear.
Yeah.
And I wonder about that. I mean, Rule by Fear, I think if you're building your whole list around getting off this Wombo combo, right, you've got to have Rule by Fear. But I don't know. I feel like I look at it and I'm like, I think it might be like people looking at like Han Rangers with Mach instead of Brett Kelly's build, right?
Yeah.
They're like, no, I don't think that's right. And you're like, well, this is what it does. It does this other thing that you're not anticipating. And so maybe like we just value different things. But I just look at it and I just think there's something wrong with that. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. I mean, there is the point of the more attachments you bring, so Zillow, Rule by Fear, Unshakeable, that's 3 points that your opponents can't get.
Yeah, it's true.
Which technically then turns Vader into a 16-point character.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So then they become 24 points. Riots are below their point cost.
Yep.
And so you're actually at one fewer, so they have to get 25 points in kill, or like you only can get 23 points in kills. You can't actually get 24.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
And then E-Riots even are the same, so they're actually down to 22 points. You can only get 22 points in kills if you don't kill Vader. So it's, I mean, interesting. I guess you do make 1 point back on the
targeting computer,
and I guess you make 1 more point back because you make 2 points. Never mind.
Never mind.
This whole math was off.
Yeah,
because E-Jets are worth 4. Are worth stupid.
More. But even still,
but like, it's an interesting it is an interesting look at like in point.
Yeah.
Manipulation.
See, in our game we had, so I mean like Scott, when he was like when he got up on, he was advantaged like it probably like round 3, and I was not coming back from the advantage quick enough. So he was winning the game, but it took Han, I think, 4 shots to kill a E-Jet that had 3 damage on it. I mean, I rolled, like, crazy low. And if that wouldn't have happened, if I would have killed him, I could have killed his 2 officers. And then Han is just running from Vader with a crate, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's all I need to do.
Yeah.
But, like, with that being the case, our game was super, super interesting. And obviously, Scott's a really, really good player. But I feel like if I would have done a few things different, and if he would have had, like, 1 or 2 attacks not break his way, and not with Vader, but with other people, and I could have had a little more map pressure, it would have been closer, and I probably could have even won. And I feel like, I don't know. I guess, like, I'm the only reason I'm saying this is just to say, like, I thought I would be a lot more worried about the Vader matchup, but having played it, it's like I made some mistakes, but I know now, like, I made those mistakes, and I actually think I'm not as scared about it anymore.
Yeah, and especially I think the Jawa map is the best Vader map. I think it's the best map for Vader because like the stashes, if you're not on the two stashes in the middle,
yeah,
you're losing points.
Yep.
And if you're not there, like, and if you are there, Vader's there.
Yep.
You're only like three, you know, Vader can get there round one.
Yeah.
And attack.
Yeah.
So realistically, he can get there and get his two attacks off, get there, get his an attack and a force choke off.
Yep.
Like, he can do any number of those things. Whereas, and he's getting objective, he can get objective points. Like,
yep.
Realistically, Vader can pick up objectives. You don't want him to.
No.
But if by chance you're like, okay, well, you know, there's no play for me, I'm going to go four, grab a crate, and then I'm going to be in line for a two move.
Yeah.
Two move and a force choke.
Yeah, why not?
Because that's all I'm going to get anyway.
And it's banking points on Vader,
exactly.
Right? Like, it's banking point even more points on Vader.
Yeah. And whereas there's no other map where he's going to get objective. Like, you could get one, I think, on...
that's such a good point.
On Jabba's. You could get the... middle stash if you're like kind of hiding him.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, like end of round one. Right?
Yeah,
you're
putting
there.
Because after that, you're not going to get it.
Rarely you're going to do that, but even still, like, and I see what you're saying.
And round one of Nalhutta, you could as well, but I don't know that you really want to have him exposed like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're just running up there, force choking.
Yeah.
And then end of round force choking something else.
Yeah.
You're okay, because then you're like three or four spaces away for a start of next round. You know, run in an attack.
Yeah.
So you're probably okay with it, and you're getting the evade, so you're not too, you know, you're not vulnerable. Vader's rarely vulnerable anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those are, like, you're maybe getting those. And even still, I don't think it's the best play because every damage on Vader counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if you just put him there for 4 points, and you're trading those 4 points for four damage,
it's not a good trade for Vader.
And so it's... Yeah.
I feel like a lot of that is going to really be matchup dependent. I mean, like, because Vader, yeah, I don't know. That's going to be really matchup dependent. Yeah. And I have not seen, we've not seen a lot of consistent practice between Scum and Vader.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we have not seen enough of that. And, like, IG versus Vader, we haven't seen that. Like, Rob from Texas, I brought this up with him one time when we were talking about IG and Vader, and he said, if Vader needs to come into me, he's going to have Devious, he's going to have the last activation.
Yeah.
Right? So he can't. So Vader can't do that. I don't know. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because, I mean, even if you're two spaces away with IG and he gets in there and he does the, like, so you move into him,
mm-hmm.
and you roll red, red, green.
Yeah.
You have two strain, which are taking his cards,
yep.
so you're learning something.
Yep, learning what cards he's got.
You're probably doing three damage, and I'm just, you know,
assuming
I'm even kind of,
no cards.
Yeah, assume, like, lowballing a little, so you're at six damage.
Yep.
And then, sure, he can step into you, and I'm saying, like, leave him out there, steps into you, swings for six, or swings for, you know, red, so he's doing...
Four damage.
Yeah, doing four damage.
Yeah.
And then you're starting out and you're doing it again. I mean, he may have parting blow, so
if
you take your shots and move out.
Yeah.
But there's a chance you're going to kill him because you're going to have a card at
exactly.
that point.
Yeah.
Like, there's almost no chance you're not going to have a card. And then you're, again, two more strain.
Yep.
So then you're down to four cards that he's gone.
Yep.
And because if not, then you're at 10 damage from Vader.
Yeah.
And then you're guaranteed killing him.
Yeah, you have to take him as cards.
Yeah, and it's just whether or not, it's going to be whether or not you have, like, one or two low-rolled random red dice.
Yeah, and this also assumes you didn't have Blaze.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, if you have Blaze, it's just red, you know, red, green, you get, like, if you can get four strain off.
Yeah.
They're then down to, you know, if with Rule by Fear, you've seen half of, or a quarter of their deck,
yeah.
a third of their deck.
Yeah.
And so, and then they're like four cards left, and you're kind of, okay, this is what he has.
Yep.
And then start around, you do it again, you're just going to see two more cards. And honestly, at that point, you're probably taking it as damage because you're just like, Vader's a sunk cost.
Yeah, he's
Vader's going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
And at that point, if you finish Vader, I think at the start of round one with just IG, it's probably game over.
See, and that's the problem, though. And, like, so a Vader player knows that, so he's going to have to play Vader back. And it's like, okay, so then he's not threatening.
Yep.
All right, well, as JK and I ramble on, this has been... the reason why we've been, like, engaging in this conversation is because I think it's really important that everybody kind of get an idea as to, like, what the Unshakeable Vader is going to be looking like in terms of, like, your matchup. And so if you're playing, we should have got... We will get on the podcast before Worlds, Matt and Scott on to talk about their Han Rangers and Unshakeable Vader matchup because they each went 1-1,
yeah.
right? And so we should talk about how that went down.
Yeah.
But I think that... it's going to be really, really interesting to see how everyone is testing against Vader right yep. now. Like, that's it. Like, everyone's testing against Vader, and they're testing against Unshakable Vader. So it's really interesting to, like, know, like, you've got to know what your opening strategy is, how you're going to deal with Vader, if you're going to kill him or what. So.
Yeah, and Paul Heaver talked about it last time. If you're... Well, you guys talked about it. You might have even said it. If your bad matchup is Vader, you are going to lose in Worlds. Yeah. Like, you may go 2-4 or something like that, but...
Really, you don't want Vader to be your bad matchup.
Because we were talking about, I expect 50% of a list to be some kind of Vader.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know, something like that. But, yeah, I think we talked about with Matt, we need to, as this is an internal thought, we need to work on opening strategies and really work on round one gambits of, hey, this is, Paul talked about it, where is safe, where is not safe,
absolutely,
what can you do, what can you not do, if you have this card, what are you worried about from them, round one, round two and round three, it's a lot of feel, like, because,
and I mean, at this point, like, the luck, like, the variance, right, it's just like, as you get further and further from the game start, the amount of variance, the amount of dice that's going to be rolled, is you would think like it would push you towards the mean in terms of like averages, but it's not.
No.
Right? It's like it's like all of the decisions, it's not just dice being rolled, but all the decisions are compounding the amount of like chaos and decision points that are being made, right?
Exactly. Cause one unvarianted dice can turn you from having four weak ways to, you know, a random focused E-Ranger high rolls from 13 away, kills them, and you go, okay, that's, you know, that's slightly high, that's okay. And then if a second one does it again, you're just like, okay, this is completely different.
Yeah.
And that's the compound of it, of the nature,
yep.
is you can't, like, you can think about it and you can say, okay, this is where I want to be. You know, a couple of podcasts talk about, like, the long-term strategy. Well, Paul talked about it again, of how can I achieve 16 points?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
How am I getting 16 objectives and 24? I think, the more I think about it, that's really, on most maps, 16 and 24 is what you're going for. Spoils of War, the pickup one is different because it's hard
that
as
one is.
All get out to get. Like, if I get 10 points on that one, I'm pretty sure I won.
That one's just a bloodbath. And I actually think that's one reason why that list or that map favors Vader so much, right? It's because they're eventually going to have to go through Vader.
That side especially. Because I think stashes, you can...
Well, stashes, it's like, I mean, if you can, like, if you've got your own Vader list, right? Like, you know you don't need to kill Vader, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, who at that point... Lucas talked about this. It's who's going to play their Jets better, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're on new ownership, Spoils of Crime, you really are going to think, I have to kill their Vader, right?
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to kill their Vader? Mm-hmm. So,
or you just commit with all of your Riots and Jets and be like, end of round one, I'm going to pick up every single crate,
I mean,
and I'm going to get 10 points.
Yeah.
And if you can kill them by round two, that's fine. But I'm going to sit and I'm going to let Vader do... Hopefully Vader can kill 20 points worth of stuff or, you know, Jets moving and stuff like that. But that's just,
that's
I don't
scary.
Think it's optimal.
Because then at that point, you're really committed to that strategy.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to do more of these as we're getting closer to Worlds. But we want to thank everybody for listening to our 53 minutes of ranting. We want everyone to join us. I'm surprised they haven't kicked us out of the store. We're on
site. They probably forgot we're here.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably true. We want to encourage everyone to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com. Support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. Thanks so much.
Goodbye.